Hello, and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm Ben Heckendorn.
And I am Jason Jones.
Yes. And Jones just pushed the button on my laptop really hard.
That's what she said.
Michael Scott!
Yes!
Yeah, hey, when's Get Smart come out on disc?
Shit, that's tomorrow.
Yes!
The blue side.
Vote for Michael Scott. Are you going to buy a Blu-ray?
Of course. That'll be the first Blu-ray I've ever bought.
Yes!
And that's how I'm going to spend my election day. I'm going to drive right past the polling place, go to Best Buy, and buy Get Smart, and come home and watch it.
As you can tell, we are both pretty disgruntled with the whole election.
Yes. We're just looking forward to it being over.
Unless John McCain wins, in which case the 2012 election will immediately begin on Wednesday.
I just think both candidates kind of suck. Neither one of them earned my vote, hence I'm not voting.
Yeah.
They have every bit the obligation to earn our votes as we do to go out and vote. And
that's
if neither one of them gave me
point.
A good reason to go out and vote, I'm not going to.
Is Dale still not going out and voting?
He seemed to be kind of leaning that way a couple weeks ago when I talked to him.
I think more people should not vote.
Yeah,
screw them. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it's like, if you really like Barack Obama or you really like John McCain and you think they're great, then yeah, go out and vote for him. But if you're just like, I vote for whatever Democrat or whatever Republican's on the ticket,
don't. Yeah. Just voting for someone because they're Republican or just voting because they're a Democrat is about as dumb as voting straight ticket.
Oh, God, that's like one of my pet peeves.
Oh, actually,
straight ticket voting.
Wait a minute. Are we going to go out and vote against the bailout voters, though? Did we talk about doing that?
Or that was floated out there,
care?
I know.
Because Tammy Baldwin's up for re-election and she
voted
for it.
Yeah, we could go after her, I suppose.
Because I'm sure she has such a huge chance of, you know, losing.
Yeah, something tells me our two votes aren't really going to make a big difference in this liberal nirvana of Madison.
God damn it, people are going to think we're like Pat O'Reilly.
Oh, it's funny, because I'm not really that conservative. But
no, you're not. I think it's funny
I'm not
that
really
you're
at all.
That.
Well, it's true. I mean, Jesus, you live around here, and it gets kind of old after a while. So, meanwhile, on this Politicast, apparently.
Yeah, in honor of the election, which is happening or whatever, and this podcast will probably come out tomorrow on the election day or shortly thereafter. I thought it would be interesting to discuss Hollywood and presidents, and specifically why Barack Obama winning would be really good for Hollywood. And it's not because most actors love Barack Obama. It's a completely different reason. And I think it's an interesting subject. It's something I've always thought about when I've looked at like the different decades and the movies. So I'd like to discuss that.
Hey, well, interesting. We couldn't get Arnold as president.
I'm telling you, if he would have been born in America,
he'd be running instead of McCain.
And he would win.
I'd vote for him. He made good movies.
Well, sure.
What other reason do I need to vote for him? That's more than the other two guys ever did for me.
Look, he's allegedly a Republican, and he's like the governor of probably like the most Democratic liberal state in the country. I mean, if he could win that, I mean, he could win anything.
Well, and he actually knows how to work, you know, make compromises, because he has to.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what that word means.
Well, this could lead right into the movie thing if I wanted it to.
Well, we might as well.
Okay, well, I also want to say we're also going to talk about Fallout 3 and Dead Space.
And probably some other crap that we'll just stumble into along the way.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I complain about all this election coverage, and then now we're talking about political stuff. Maybe it's like venting. It's like people that cut themselves or whatever.
Intentionally?
Yes, intentionally.
Like the self-mutilation people?
Well, listening to Fall Out Boy. They're like, oh man, my life is a goth dream.
I gotta put another cut in my arm.
Okay, well, looking back over the decades of movies, you kind of notice certain movies are made depending on whatever administration is in power, right?
Yeah.
And in the last 8 years or whatever with Bush, we've had, well, I'm sorry, with the last 5 years since people have hated Bush, because
yeah, the first few years.
Yeah, the first few years, it's my people actually liked him. I mean, it's hard to believe or hard to remember now, but
yeah, what was it? It was like the first 6-7 months, people didn't really like him. They didn't hate him, but they didn't really like him. But then September 11th
happened.
Because,
you know, he stole the election, remember?
Yep. But then September 11th happened, and, you know, everybody was
galvanized. It's like, wow, he's our president while this happened. He's awesome.
He must kick ass.
Anyway, so lately, Hollywood's been making a lot of movies where it's like, you know, someone's falsely accused of terrorism, like that one movie with What's-Her-Face, Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon one,
yeah. What was that one called?
Was that Rendition?
Yeah. Which sounds like it should be a movie about a painter or something, but whatever. Then you had Traitor with that one guy who's going to be in Iron Man 2. Body of Lies. Well, actually, I should come
what
to
was
Body
it, Don
of Lies.
Cheadle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, there's been all these movies, and they're basically about, like, the Iraq War,
By the way, we've seen none of these movies.
Yeah, because, well, nobody did.
Yeah.
They're about the Iraq War, the Mideast, failure of intelligence, the CIA sucks, blah, 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 all this stuff.
Yeah, you had, like, In the Valley of Elah was another one that had, like, a good cast.
Remember, where they're, like, shooting people or whatever? Yeah.
And that one I'm actually half intrigued to watch, just because it looks kind of more like just an action movie.
And every single one of those movies bombed.
Yep.
Okay, and then when you have Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe in a movie... Body of Lies, and it bombs. That should tell you something. Nobody cares.
See, the problem with Hollywood, though, is they just keep thinking, you know what, we just didn't do it right. We gotta try again.
Yeah.
That's just what they keep doing over and over again.
People get to see this Mideast war stuff on the news every day, at least until Wall Street crashed. I bet they pay to see it in a theater, too.
Yeah, speaking of that, are we even at war anymore?
No, the war is over.
Oh, okay.
didn't you hear?
No, I didn't, actually.
The war is over.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like, I don't think I've heard anything about it in at least a month.
Hey, you know what I always say? All that matters is money. People if people's 401ks are tanking, that's all they're going to care about.
Yep.
Because that's all that matters.
True.
Yeah, we were discussing this the other day. It's like, you know, we look at younger people and how they're optimistic and stuff, and we're old enough to realize that none of that matters. All that matters is money.
Yep.
Okay, anyway, going back to money. All of these goddamn movies that Hollywood's been making lately.
That
George Bush movie.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
The only one that was successful was Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yes.
And that was very successful.
Yep.
But everything else is like...
Pretty much.
Okay, now I'm not saying anything against those movies, except for they shouldn't make them because they don't make money.
Well, and they shouldn't have made them when they made them. If they would have made those movies like 20 years from now, when
yeah.
there's some distance between, you know, the events being depicted and, you know, when the movie's being shown, people might want to see it.
Yeah, what's with making this W movie now?
Yeah.
I mean, George Bush might cure cancer next month. Who knows?
And then it wouldn't be in the movie.
I know.
They'd have to make, like, W-2.
Or WD-40.
So would W-2 be like you have this like tax form or something that you have to, you know, deal with?
And then you get a $600 check for nothing.
Thank you for smoking.
Anyway, my point is, yeah, the Hollywood has been making all these movies and they've all bombed. And they're basically like, we hate the Iraq War, we hate the president, we're making a movie about it. Which is stupid because they're entitled to their opinion and, you know, and a lot of people think that. But... Is that a good movie?
Well, and we're entitled to not watch it and not care.
Well, obviously people are entitled to not watch it and not care. So think about all the money that's being wasted on these stupid movies about that subject that nobody goes and sees, all right? Mm-hmm. And it's lame. And the purpose of making movies is to make money.
Yep.
I mean, maybe they want to prove a point, but, you know, it'd be nice if they could make some money while they're doing it like Michael Moore did.
Yeah.
You know, he did both. Okay, now look back in the 90s. You know, you had
a fairly popular president,
and he was a Democrat, so you know Hollywood likes him. And look at all the hero president movies we had. We had Dave, which, well, actually, that wasn't really a hero president movie.
But it kicked ass.
Yeah. It wasn't about a president who screwed an intern and had a stroke.
Yeah.
So it was actually a fairly accurate movie, but it still kicked ass.
Yeah, and he was kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
But then his, like... double shows up and he's cool.
Someone thought, hey, I'm going to put Kevin Klein and Sigourney Weaver in the same movie.
Gold.
I mean, what more could you want? Okay, you had that. Then you had Independence Day, right, where the president was flying a jet. Then you had Air Force One, where the president was beating up Gary Oldman. Then you had Primary Colors, where...
Travolta.
Whatever. Yeah. Then you had The American President.
Yep. That was a good movie, too.
Yeah, all these movies about, like, presidents, and the president was, like, kicking ass, right? And those movies were successful.
Yep.
So, you know, if you don't like the president, just don't bother making movies. You know, you're just going to lose money. But, okay, so my point is, you know.
So who funds these movies? Is it a bunch of old Brad Pitt, you know, while he's in Darfur, he, like, slings 10 million.
You might get my podcast picked up by Fox News if we keep going like this.
But, I mean, it was Brad Pitt, like, sitting, you know, on his, I don't know, Barca lounger in Darfur, and he, like, shits, like, $10 million over to Paul Haggis.
Like, Brad Pitt would really sit around Darfur.
But then he gives, like, $10 million to Paul Haggis and says, go make In the Valley of Ela or whatever the hell. I mean, how do these things even get made? Who thinks they're going to be, like, a money-making opportunity? Obviously, people who are pissed off about the Iraq War don't go to movies. Or at least not ones about being pissed off about the Iraq War.
Well, Fahrenheit 9/11 was really successful. Okay, let's examine that.
Well, that was early on. That was like being pissed off at George Bush. Mm-hmm. And it also had the whole controversy of, you know, the events of 9/11 behind it and what happened. Like, it had the crap where Bush just kind of sits there for like 10 minutes reading, you know, I don't know, Dr. Seuss or something after he's been told that, you know, the country's under attack and he, like, doesn't do anything. And, you know, it had all those, like, interesting facets to it, and, you know, it was more of a expose, almost, than this, like, down and gritty, you know, my son died in the war, and I'm Tommy Lee Jones, and I'm sad movie.
And there's a Valley of Ela.
Yes, with Charlize Theron in it.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, like, Fahrenheit 9/11 was more, like, sensationalized. Like, it was under the guise of being a documentary, but obviously Moore took some liberties with the format. And
so then why does no one care about Oliver Stone's W movie?
I don't know. I don't know how much that one cost. I mean, it's not...
9/11. It hasn't done, yeah,
like 9/11.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not like it's out there, you know, cruising past 100 million or anything, but I don't know. It's,
Wasn't Richard Dreyfuss an evil Republican and the American president as well?
I don't think they marketed W properly is part of the problem. You know, because people see the title W, it's like, oh great, a movie about George Bush, just what I want to watch.
Well, what, but if they knew... What is it about? It's a movie about George Bush. What do you want? I mean, what are you going to market it as? Barney the movie?
Yeah, but I mean, like, the tone of it. You know, like, people probably look at the title and they think, oh, it's just going to be something, you know, like a straightforward movie about his life, but I guess it's more almost like a comedy from what I've read. You know, and I think if people knew that, you know, they might be more inclined to see it. I mean, I'm mildly curious about it.
You just want to see it as Elizabeth Banks.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know.
Hey, did you go see that Make a Porno movie?
I didn't.
I can't believe you didn't go see that. I thought you were all about that.
I know, I want to see it. I just...
It actually did
was
pretty
lame.
Decently compared... It made as much as the W movie.
Good.
Weekend.
It should have.
Okay, so I guess my point is, it's interesting how Hollywood, the movies it makes kind of depends on the political atmosphere.
Well, and, like, look at the 80s, like we've talked about, where you just had these big, over-the-top, blow-the-shit-out-of-everything, and who cares about being politically correct action movies. And just,
and think about it, you had a reasonably popular ex-actor president.
Yep.
And there was no wars going on. It was like, fuck it.
Yep. It was awesome.
And most of those movies starred, at least at the time, like Republican actors.
Yep, you had Bruce Willis and Arnold.
Mel.
Stallone, I think he's, or is he?
Oh, I'm sure he is.
He probably is.
And it's just... And
guess,
you know,
what, celebrity, you are now a Republican.
He's going to call his... He's going to call his... I actually voted for Nader. Yeah.
I actually saw a Nader sign along the road the other day.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he is actually running again.
That's like the last 6% of the votes. That's who it is. But, you know, if you look at the 80s, it's still Hollywood. But, yeah, I mean, you had a... Probably the last most popular president.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could... I mean...
Yeah, most people liked him, whether you were, you know,
yeah,
Democrat or Republican.
And I, a lot of people now, it seems like it's younger people that don't even really remember the 80s.
Yeah.
Talk about them like, oh, Reaganomics, blah, blah, blah. But Back in the 80s, I mean, okay, they had the Iran-Contra thing. That was a big deal, and that was, you know, that was pretty bad, sort of. But generally, he was probably the last most popular president we had.
Well, the thing is,
and the movies, they weren't political. They just didn't give a shit. There was no evil presidents, no hero presidents, just people with guns shooting up people in third world countries.
Hell yeah, like Top Gun. Whatever.
Yeah, look at that. That movie would never get made today.
Hell no.
But it was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, of course, because there's no war going on in 1986.
It's true.
Or was there?
Well, I know Grenada was back around there somewhere, but that really wasn't
a
war, I don't think.
That was like 82, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a little earlier.
We gotta get these boys ready for the 31-day Iraq war! Do, 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 do.
Well, and Reagan was ridiculously popular. Like, when he got reelected in 84, he won 49 of the 50 states. The only state he didn't win was Minnesota, which was Mondale's home state. But he won every other state. It's like, I don't know when the last time is that would have happened, probably when George Washington got reelected. I don't know.
It wasn't that lopsided, but it was pretty lopsided when Eisenhower got reelected in, what was that, 56? Yeah. Oh, yeah, because we had that bumper sticker. But the point is, if you look at the movies, if you look at the action movies of, like, the 80s compared to the 90s compared to now, I mean, most of the action movies now are, like, these CIA, failure of intelligence, spy, espionage, King of Jordan, whatever, thrillers, and nobody cares. In the 90s, you had a lot of, like, hero president shooting missiles at space aliens and dogs jumping out of the way. If you think about it, like, the movies in the 90s were generally non-violent, too.
Yeah.
The violence was toned way down.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the 80s, you had, like, Arnold throwing saw blades through people and blood and guts. And
blowing up islands, pretty much.
Oh, the
Commando!
And nobody, it's just like, nobody cared, and, but I think it has a lot to do with, the climate of the time, and especially, like, you know, who's in power.
Oh, I wish the 80s would come back.
The 80s were great.
Hell yeah. It kicked ass. You had, like, stupid music that had absolutely no meaning, but it was just fun and great. And then the movies
Senile
were
president.
Just nuts. It was awesome. I mean, look at the 80s. You had, you know, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, those both came out during that time. You had Arnold killing everything that moved, like Terminator movies came out.
Oh, hey, okay, I agree. The movies of the 80s were great.
Hell yeah.
Let's go back a little bit more. There weren't a lot, but remember when they had, I can think of just one, actually, but All the President's Men.
Yes.
Now, that was a really good movie, and it was political, but it was also good, and it was successful.
And it was...
How did that work?
I don't know. Probably because of, you know, it was, you know, again, it was under the hood a little bit because, you know, people...
Kind of like Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, because people knew who Woodward and Bernstein were, and they'd kind of heard about Deep Throat and things like that, but they didn't maybe necessarily, you know, it was kind of neat because they got to kind of go behind the scenes in the movie and see how that played out. You know, maybe that's part of the allure. I mean, I really don't know, but, I mean, I think it's a hell of a movie.
Mm-hmm, it is really good.
And it's, you know, ridiculously well acted. It's got just tons of awesome actors in it, so. But yeah, it's.
So like, maybe the thing is you have to have kind of some insight and you have to bring some interesting things to the table and have it be realistic. Like Fahrenheit 9/11 was based off real events, obviously.
Yeah.
All the President's Men, obviously, was based on something that's true. And both those movies were successful. But whereas when you, like, kind of make movies about the subject, people don't seem to care.
Like, you know, like a movie like Apocalypse Now, you know, to go back a ways, you know, the reason that movie, you know, is interesting or whatever is because it's not just a bland by-the-numbers Vietnam movie. It's about some, you know, whacked-out former American military man sitting up the river and this guy's quest to go and hunt him down, and it's just so happens it's going on in the midst of the Vietnam War.
Right.
So it, you know, I don't know. But again, I think, you know, these Iraq
movies... That movie
movies,
wasn't really political, though.
It had some angles in it, but not heavily political. I think the Redux version's more political than the original cut of it.
Okay, so what were you going to say about the Iraq movie?
Well, kind of like what I alluded to earlier. I think, you know, I'm not saying the movies would have been successful or anything, but it's like if they would have brought them out, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, the odds of a couple of them being at least semi-successful probably would have been greatly heightened.
Yeah, at least Apocalypse Now is like one of the first Vietnam movies, and that was still... not when they filmed it, but like, what, about 4 years later at least?
Yeah, it was. I think it came out in 79, but they started filming it in like 75 or 76. It was pretty much right as Vietnam was officially ended.
Well, at least it was ended, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you should still, you know, spend some time so you can kind of see the implications of what happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we don't know the full extent of, like, you know, the Iraq War and what we've done over there.
Well, the thing with these movies, too, I think, is that, like, while it's going on is the time when documentaries should be doing their thing.
Like, there's again, been some like Fahrenheit 9/11, which was successful.
Yeah, like that one, and there's been some other, you know, Iraq War documentaries that have come out, you know, the soldiers over there or whatever, you know, showing what life is like over there, and it's like, you know, the people they're going to want to watch some serious take on Iraq are the sort of people that would go and watch a documentary. They wouldn't, if they were given the choice between a documentary and seeing Tommy Lee Jones and Charlize Theron wandering around being sad about the war, they'd probably go with a documentary. You know, it's just kind of how it is, and it makes more sense for the time where...
What about the two 9/11 movies that were squirted out way too fast?
World Trade Center and
Flight 93.
Flight 93, or United 93.
Something with
that's
93.
What it was, yeah. Yeah.
Those were well-received, but they weren't, like, terribly successful either.
Yeah, neither one, like, made big money or anything. Like, United 93 is a... I don't know if I actually watched it, but it's not exactly something you want to just, you know, be like, oh, I'm feeling bored tonight, I think I'm going to, you know, pop in United 93, this will be a good time. And I think the hook with United 93, like, the thing that made me want to watch it was...
Paul Greengrass?
The way it was made, because it takes place over a little over an hour and a half, and it's basically the amount of time that plane was in the air. So it's almost real time is how the movie takes place. It starts out with, you know, the terrorist guys in their hotel, and they get on the plane. And then it starts out with kind of this real macro view of everything that's going on as there's these different planes, you know, hitting the buildings and stuff, but then eventually the movie kind of narrows its focus down to the plane, and like for the last, you know, 20, 30 minutes of the movie, you're like in the plane pretty much, because everything that's going on outside of the plane doesn't even matter anymore. Well thought out way of making the movie, and it made it more compelling that way. If it would have just been some, you know, bland movie about, oh, here's what, you know, this flight was about, but I think the choices that were made and how that film was put together or what made it compelling, actually, so I don't know. It's the one movie out of all these other than Fahrenheit 9/11 that I've actually seen, so I guess I'll put it that way.
Well, I mean, the fact that it, you know, a person might say, oh, well, you haven't seen any of these movies to us, but they haven't made us want to see them, and they haven't made anyone else want to see them if you look at their box office.
Yeah.
So, okay, so back to the original point, if Barack Obama is elected or has been elected or whenever this podcast comes out, which is pretty likely, that'll be better for Hollywood because then they'll be going back to making hero president movies, probably.
Yeah.
And those are usually successful. So
I guarantee you we'll get a Martin Luther King movie, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which is fine. You know, I mean, I suppose they should make a movie about the guy. It's been long enough, but, you know, the reasons will be obvious.
They'll make, like, Independence Day to, like, Thanksgiving Day, and Bill Pullman would be like, on this day, we give thanks that we have enough missiles to fight the aliens! And then Will Smith will say, aw, hell no.
Well, that'd be cool. I'd like to see Bill Pullman get more work, so...
I'm surprised they never made a sequel to that.
Yeah, it made shitloads of money.
Make a sequel to every other goddamn movie that comes out.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, you know, if and when Obama gets elected, it'll be interesting to see what sorts of movies do come out, because I don't think he's nearly as...
It'll take a little bit for it to latch in.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not nearly as interesting of a president as Clinton was. I mean, Clinton, I don't know what it was about him. I mean, you know,
he certainly had a lot of flaws.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, and he went on, you know, he went on what, like Carson or Leno or whatever, you know, and played the saxophone and, you know, things
like
that.
Obama just kind of gives speeches.
Yeah.
Really, I mean,
that's all he does.
He hasn't done anything. Well, yeah, he's been in the Senate, but as we all know, they haven't done anything either the last few years. I mean, everyone seems to forget.
But I think, you know, he was a bit more human, almost. Like, that's kind of one of the big beefs with Obama, is he's very
aloof.
Stiff and aloof, you know. Where Clinton, it was like, like, pretty early. Well, actually, it was during the election that the whole Jennifer Flowers thing came out. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that who it was?
Yep.
Shit in the background.
Yep, and then he's
played
his sax,
you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, he'd go out and run in the mornings and eat at McDonald's and all that crap, you know. Like, people could relate to him more, I think.
So, anyway, the point of this story is Barack Obama as president will be good for Hollywood. Not because they like him and all this stuff, because he's a Democrat.
Yeah, what's with that?
What's with that? You know, that's Hollywood is like straight ticket. You know, they go there and they pull the lever. Straight ticket.
Except for Arnold, apparently.
Come on, that's...
Except for Arnold, apparently.
Oh.
Well, I don't
know. He's like, oh, shit, I've got to vote for a few Democrats, otherwise Maria won't sleep with me for a month.
Well, no, I mean, some people...
God damn it, Ted Kennedy!
I mean, some people obviously voted for him.
Oh.
You know?
I'm just saying...
But I know what you're getting
you
at.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Again, in the 80s, like, there was a popular president, and he really had nothing to do with, you know, what party he was. He was popular.
Yeah. Be nice to have that again.
Yeah. Oh, how about a president who was in the armed services? That'd be nice to have again.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
It's not an endorsement of McCain. It's an endorsement of just something that would be nice.
Yeah.
I don't think Sarah Palin was in the armed services.
No.
Was she?
I don't think so.
Bush
count,
you know,
obviously.
If
so.
McCain won, as soon as he got into office, he would die, of course, of a heart attack.
Well, he would. She'd probably poison his food or something.
So Reagan was 69 when he got elected? Or?
Yep.
So that he would be 3 years older than Reagan.
Yeah, actually, he'd be 72.
He'd go senile 3 years faster than Reagan.
Yeah, he might actually go senile in office. Be close.
Reagan was senile all through office, don't you remember?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Oh. Well, what the hell, we had awesome movies.
This is like the Disneyland Tour of the Presidents thing, where all the robotic presidents are, like, waving at you. So, I guess the point is, yes, Hollywood...
We keep belaboring this point.
Right. Well, it seems like we're getting off point, but...
That's okay.
Hollywood should just make movies that are entertaining, you know?
That would be nice.
If you want, like, stupid violence and stuff, you gotta watch television. It's not in the theater anymore.
Yeah. It's true. You're once, you know, watching 24, then, you know, you would... More, like, ridiculous violence, too. Like, that show just has gone almost into 1980s land in the last couple of years.
Isn't that kind of, like, a flag-waving, save-the-country kind of show? I've never actually watched it.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, it kind of keeps getting more and more ridiculous each season, you know, and it seems like it keeps kind of going back in time towards the 80s the further it goes on.
Doesn't it have another season coming out that was, like, delayed or something?
Yeah, they actually didn't even have a season last year because of the strike and stuff, but now they're going to have, like, they're going to make, like, a movie that's supposed to come out. It's, like, 2-hour-long movie that's going to kind of bridge the gap,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
And then they're going to have the new season.
Well, Jones, I don't think we're ever going to get into Hollywood after this podcast episode.
I don't know why not. We're telling them what movies not to make. I mean, Christ.
We're trying to save them money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're just telling them not to pull the straight ticket lever. I mean...
Okay.
Oh, speaking of that, I was watching Ghostbusters on HD MovieNet the other day, and first I noticed everyone in that movie smokes, which is awesome. And... Well, secondly, they should make a new Ghostbusters movie. Remember that scene where they're sitting there talking about the Twinkies and the containment field and the... Oh, and the EPA were the bad guys in it, remember?
Yep.
That would never happen nowadays.
Yeah, ugh. Well, see, they got to use our idea for it, though, if they make it. So
the Ghostbusters are dead?
Yeah.
And a new team of wacky Ghostbusters has to bust them?
And it would have to have, like, Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen. This could be the Judd Apatow crew. It would make all kinds of money.
Oh, Leslie Mann could be the secretary.
Yes. Oh, and the other thing you realized after watching them smoke in Ghostbusters was that there was no smoking in Posthumous Woman, even though Mike's character is referred to as being a, like, heavy smoker.
I know, that made me feel bad. See, I am an...
That was unintentional.
How do I put this? I am an adamant pro-smoking kind of person.
Yes. I would agree, I don't smoke, but I am in favor of people's right to smoke.
Yeah, it just seems... It's like a fascist crackdown on smoking, which... I mean, I can remember days, you know, you go to Hardee's and there'd be a smoking section. I mean, yeah. People probably can't even fathom that now, but it's true. And somehow the human race survived.
Well, it's like discrimination. I mean, you almost probably feel like a lesser element of society if you smoke.
Oh, but you are.
No, it's okay.
You can pop as many pills as you want, as long as your doctor gives it to you. And you can drink all you want. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, destroying your liver is fine, but don't destroy your lungs.
Yes.
Oh, I know what, because of secondhand smoke.
Yes.
That's why it's bad.
Yes.
How did we get on this? Oh, Ghostbusters. So, yeah, they're all smoking. Oh, yeah, then Posthumous
Man. Posthumous Woman.
Oh, Posthumous Woman. Yeah, the only character that smokes is a quote-unquote bad guy, Sal Salazar,
yeah.
Dale's character.
He's got his stogie. Yeah.
So, basically, we did it Hollywood style, was that a bad guy smokes. You think
Damn
about it, like,
it.
Even in modern movies where you see people smoking... Like Spider-Man 2, people smoked, but the bad guys smoked. Or, God, I can't really think of any others.
Did we even give a lot of thought to this while we were making the movie?
It just kind of happened.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, because he kind of like Mike was in the movie a lot, and if we had him smoking, you know, you always have to be keeping track of, you know, how much is the cigarette burned down.
I don't think that was... I think the thing was he didn't smoke in the first movie, so he doesn't smoke now.
Oh, yeah, that might be.
Well, yeah, like Mike
Adson, who played Jamie, is just... A rampant smoker.
Yeah, between most takes, like when there was a couple of minutes available, he was smoking, so...
Right. So, basically, yeah, if the camera wasn't running, he was smoking. But then, strangely enough, his character doesn't smoke in the movie. But
yeah. It
wasn't really a conscious decision, but when I looked back upon it, I'm like, oh, man, the only character who smokes is kind of like a sleazeball.
Yeah.
I felt kind of bad because that was so typical.
Yeah.
But,
Damn it.
Oh, well.
Well, there's always Posthumous... Baby 3 or something.
Well, that's not going to be until 2021.
That's like 13 years, though. So.
Yeah, a pack of cigarettes will probably cost $90 by then. Okay,
and you'll have to, like, import them or something.
From Cuba. Okay, I got a quote for you. Ready? $6 for a can of pop? Jesus Christ! What movie was that in? I'll give you a hint. It was made during the 80s.
Oh, God, I'm not placing it.
Running Man.
Oh, yeah. Only in a rerun.
Yes! Okay, speaking of politics, Arnold Schwarzenegger should quit. Doesn't he have
yes.
to like, quit pretty soon?
Yeah, actually, isn't it like 2010? Like, he can't run again?
Good.
I think.
I wish I lived in California so I could vote against him. Why? He could make movies again.
Damn straight.
Catherine Brewster, it is time.
It's like, it's all great you want to play Governor Arnold, but you can't ever go beyond that, so why bother? Make movies instead. Do something you've been doing for, like, 30 years instead.
Well, he probably got tired of it and stuff.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Well, he's always kind of had an interest in this stuff. I mean, like, back during Bush 1's term, he was, like, some guy on Bush's fitness committee, like, this national fitness thing. Arnold was a part of that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Way back.
And he stumped for him in 88.
Yep.
God, I'm getting all these years.
I mean, he was
years.
Involved, you know, even back then, so.
Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, can I be a citizen of America?
Yeah.
I was not born here, but I want to be a citizen and president. I mean, a citizen. All right, I will be governor, because I was in Predator, and everyone in Predator must be a governor. Carl Weathers, get on that!
See, that's one thing that I could see being revised. I mean, why don't we allow... somebody who wasn't born in this country. I mean, I know where it goes back to way back when, but it's like, if the guy's been, you know, living here and a citizen for like 40 years...
Well, look, if Barack Obama would have been born 5 years before he was born in Hawaii,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Hawaii was like 59?
Yep, I think it was either 58 or 59.
So that's like, what, 5 years before Barack Obama was born?
Yeah.
So he almost wasn't.
Well, and the thing is...
So I'm just saying, yeah, things change, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'm not sure when Arnold actually became a citizen, but, you know, It's like, well, let's say it was 40 years ago or whatever. It's like, well,
I don't think it was that long
ago. It probably wasn't, but if it was, you know, it's like, well, there's, you know, you could have some 36-year-old guy who was born in this country that could run for president, but it's like he wouldn't have been a citizen of the country as long as Arnold was, you know?
Yeah.
What the hell's the difference? I mean, I can see it if somebody's, you know, only been a citizen like 2 years. Yeah, you know, I mean, you gotta have some sort of...
Don't they call that, like, being
naturalized? Yeah. I mean, it's like you have to have some sort of... I think... Because there's other countries that let people that weren't born in their country, you know, be usually like they have to be a citizen for 20 years.
Well, that seems reasonable.
Or something like that, which seems pretty fair, I think. But whatever. The only reason I care is because I'd like to vote for Arnold for president, so...
I think you'd make a good president, honestly.
I think you would, too. Because, well, like I said, you know, 4 years ago, I think when we were talking about this shit, it's like, hey, if we elected him...
Did you realize this podcast, we just ripped on both McCain and Obama and then said Arnold would be a good president?
Well, it's true. I think he'd make a better president than either of these two buffoons. But it's like, my thing always was, I'm like,
yeah,
okay, if we voted Arnold in as president, would any other country in the world fuck with us, for Christ's sake?
Oh, come on, like, it's really like the movies.
I know, but still... Just think of that, you know, he goes to talk to, like, Kim Jong-il or something. He's like, hello, little man.
I could break your goddamn spine. Turn off your nuclear reactors.
All right, men.
Get to the chopper. Yes. That would be so awesome.
Oh, God. And I would just love it for, you know, the sound bites every night. I mean, I can't imagine how awesome it's got to be to live in California. I would watch the news. Because it's like you turn it on and Arnold's on there talking about shit.
So, it's funny. I've watched the news, like, when in California. And it's like, today, Governor Schwarzenegger, that just sounds so ridiculous.
I know it. Like, whenever I see, like, a news article about him or I see some blurb on TV where he's, like, giving a speech, and I'm like... I still feel like I've gone into some other dimension.
Yeah,
it's
like you're like in Demolition Man, like when the future Arnold is president or some sort of bullshit.
Yeah.
It seems like there was some movie that made that comment. And oh god,
well, that Idiocracy movie, they had like some, you know, wrestler that became president in that.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, look at like Sarah Palin. It's like, ooh, they've got a black guy. We need a chick. You know, it's like they're putting a sitcom together. I mean, that's all. It's all about image and a package. And
they just need an Asian guy,
yep.
Or a Latino, I guess,
and a gay guy.
Well, yeah,
and a kooky neighbor.
Yep. Guy
and,
with a funny
and
hat.
And then Jennifer Aniston,
just to top it off. She's like the cherry on top.
Hey,
I
what
guess.
About Benry?
I'd vote
Lost.
For him. What the hell?
Yes, he'd be a great president too. He'd be like, "Well, I don't know, China. I don't think we need to give you any more money. I've got 5 nuclear weapons. I'm going to set them off now, John." shit, weren't we going to talk about Dead Space?
Oh, yeah. Dead Space
it is
and
doing
Fallout 3.
It is fun doing impressions of Benry, though.
Yes. And Arnold.
You should have been there that day at Devil's Lake. Because we were walking through the woods, and there was... We were walking around the lake, and some of the path was underwater, so we're like, oh, shit. So instead of, we either were going to have to walk, like, 6 miles back or, like, find our way through the woods to get around the flooding. So we started walking through the woods, and then Dale and I started doing a Lost impression. So we were walking through the woods, and then we came across this cabin. And I turned to him, and I'm like, congratulations, John, you found the cabin. It was, like, just perfect. It was hilarious. Dale was like, wow, that's the best Benry impression I've ever heard. It was great.
That's awesome.
See, I think Arnold would actually be a popular president.
I think he would be, too. The thing is, you know, he... You know, like we said, it's like, just look what he's doing in California. You
borrowing
know,
money.
Well, yeah. Well, it's these two
yo-yos. Oh, wait, that's what everybody does now.
Yeah. But, you know, it's
I'm a maverick. I'm only going to borrow $900 billion.
Like, unlike McCain, Arnold actually knows how to reach across the aisle and work with the other party.
And he's actually fought in more wars than John McCain, too.
That's true.
I mean, Arnold's killed, like, what, 10,000 people?
They're planets, for Christ's sakes.
He's like, this reminds me of when I had to fight for Mars' independence. I ripped out his goddamn spine.
Give the people air.
Arnold's done all sorts of cool stuff. What else has he done? Well, he was a robot from the future, of course. 200 years from now, I want to come back in time as a robot to now and say, this is what I did for America!
When he fought that alien in Predator.
Oh, yes!
Which is a hell of a movie.
Oh, that's right.
And then he blew up that island in Commando and stuck a pipe through that flame-like... What the hell was that guy even?
Bennett?
Yeah, Bennett.
That guy was such a joke. He was like some chubby British guy with a chainmail t-shirt, and apparently he could fight Arnold. Like, come on!
Who in their right mind would think this guy could even have a chance against Arnold?
Well, one thing I liked about the first Batman movie, this is going completely off subject, but the Joker tried to fight Batman, and he failed.
And he got his ass kicked.
Yeah, exactly. Because usually in any movie, no matter how tough the hero is, the main bad guy puts up a pretty good fight.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah. Like in Die Hard 2, the best movie ever. Oh, actually, I'm sorry, third best movie ever. Behind Wimbledon in Spider-Man 2. Remember when he's in the wing of that plane and he's fighting those guys? Of course, yep. The guy's pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
Actually, Arnold doesn't even... Arnold, what's the difference? Bruce Willis doesn't even beat him.
What's the difference? Oh, God.
Wow, this has been quite the podcast.
That's true. Well, if we didn't have any listeners before this, we probably really don't now, but that's okay.
Well, I don't know, like the Ron Paul / Ralph Nader voting block might still like us.
Yeah, we'll get that niche, maybe.
Oh, our friend Dale sold weights to Russ Feingold the other day.
That's right.
Last week, your hero.
The man.
Actually, didn't he say he was kind of a jerk? Or he was a jerk to someone else at the store?
Well, I don't know. It was like, it sounded like that person was kind of being the jerky retail employee as well.
They didn't think, oh, Russ Feingold, defender of not borrowing more money from China. Yeah,
defender of our nation's future.
Defender of the Bill of Rights.
I would have bought those weights for him if I would have been there. Be like, you are awesome. Go home and bulk up.
We would have said, take these, my liege. Speaking of lieges, we saw that Role Models movie as a sneak preview.
Yes.
A lot of stuff has happened since last podcast.
We got to see that shit like a week and a half ago. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining. Then the director linked to Dale's blog, Fistful of Reviews.
Yep. Yeah, because Dale threw up a review of it, and yeah, it was funny. I noticed it was getting fairly significant traffic, and then I looked at where it was coming from, and it's like, this is the guy who directed the movie, and he linked to it, so that was pretty cool. That doesn't happen every day, I guess, so.
Hey, that's another thing. R-rated comedies, what do you think about those? Because it seems like...
They seem to be making a slight comeback, which is nice to see.
Again, if you remember, in the 80s, there was a lot of them, and guess what?
And they made money.
Yep.
And, like, There's Something About Mary came out, you know, late 90s, and made a shit ton of money.
Yeah, it probably really doesn't have anything to do with, like, the decade.
It's just whether or not you make a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, Something About Mary was R-rated.
But yeah, now you got, like, 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up.
I can't believe they haven't made a sequel to Something About Mary.
Ben Stiller
Ben Stiller and Cameron, I Should Eat a Sandwich Diaz are still, like, in the limelight.
That's true.
They could call it There's Something Else About Mary, then else could be, like, Dripping Blood.
But yes, more R-rated comedies.
What about Tropic Thunder, speaking of R-rated comedies?
Ugh. That was one that was done poorly, in my opinion.
See, I think that movie completely missed the mark.
Yeah.
They should have just made it like Team America, just make a fucking balls-out...
Yeah, just live-action Team America.
See, I don't think Team America was even like... It was such a good parody of action movies, it almost wasn't a parody.
Yeah.
It was just very, very well done. Yeah.
This is so great. I mean, that's probably... I mean, honestly, that was like an 80s action movie that they made. Mm-hmm. We were fortunate enough to get it in this decade, but yeah, I would love a movie with marionette dolls. I'd go and see it.
Yeah, I really think Team America is like one of the funniest movies in history because if you take it at face value, it's a shitty movie. But if you realize it's just like all these, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer, Michael Bay movies. Yeah. I mean, there's several lines of dialogue in it. They're like basically taken right from like. all the worst parts of the Bible was in Armageddon.
You gave up on life, didn't you?
Get out of the street, you drunken bum! Lisa, are you here? My favorite part of the movie is when he's exiting the bar, and he, like, leans over like he's gonna fight that guy, yep. And then he goes back out.
I love that part where he, like, throws up in the street right after that, and it has, like, this music that's kind of like, you know, the hero time,
oh, yeah,
you know, time
yeah.
to, like, step up music, and he just keeps, like, throwing up worse and worse as the music keeps swelling up. It's just so goddamn funny.
Now, I know that movie didn't, like, set the box office on fire, but it did better than any of these other
yeah.
movies, and, you know, like... You know, obviously from the creators of South Park. You know, they, again, rip on everybody, yep. and it's a lot funnier
oh, yeah.
that way. Yeah, if we could make a movie half as good as Team America,
oh, God.
I would be proud of myself. I could just, yeah. like, die and then be, okay, I'm yeah. done. Blah, I'm dead.
Yeah, pretty much. I could die a happy man. That would
yeah.
be a hell of a film.
Yeah, because I don't know. I guess Posthumous Woman's funny, but I don't know if it's as funny as... See, by the time you get done making a movie, you don't really think it's very funny anymore. Although,
yeah.
you know, it's pretty quickly.
Yeah, there were still a few pretty good the other night. Like, I don't know why, but Mike just cracks me up in that movie. For those of you who don't know, that's the guy who plays Jamie. And, God, I don't know, I just... He cracks me up to no end.
Oh, he is really funny in it. Oh, I finally got him to admit that he's glad he made it now.
Nice. Well, the part where, like, I come in and, you know, like, tell him about the, you know, making a weapon out of the possum, and he has that big pregnant pause,
yeah.
and he's like, what war is that? It's just so great.
I know, it's like, I normally wouldn't have used that, but it was so funny. Well, I could kind of, as months have gone by, like, anything, like, remotely political, I could leave in the movie I did because, you know, it was an election year.
Yeah.
You know, like, we had the Secret Service agent, the president's daughter, dropping the possums in Iraq. I just thought it was, clone a couple hundred of them, drop them in Iraq, and the war would be over in a week. What war is that?
What's the internet?
Or what's yeah. the internet? Well, that was the kind of thing with that movie. I'm not.
Yep.
I just didn't
yeah.
give a shit. Yep. Like, I didn't care how bloody it was, how many guns there were, how many people died, how sexist it was. I just didn't care.
Well, that's the thing, you know, it's like, you know, one thing with this movie I think people, you know, I hope realize, or if they don't, that I guess they maybe should, is that with Port Washington, we really tried. You know, we really busted our ass and put a hell of a lot of effort into that thing. And not to say that we... didn't, you know, put effort into this one either, but we just kind of said, fuck it, and just did whatever the hell we felt like.
Well,
you know, there's
I
no
think,
script.
I think the point
anything.
Is, thematically, we said, fuck
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't care how stupid the situations were, the dialogue.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Pasta's Man, like,
yeah,
technically,
it turned out pretty well.
Done.
You know, I mean, you know, it doesn't have all the color correction and things like that and
yeah,
all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there's actually only a couple scenes where I even did that. I think the sound turned out pretty good.
But that's also why this movie got done in 5 months instead of 4 years.
Well, I think the big thing was special effects, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't have nearly as many as Port Washington. Probably
yeah,
like...
Yeah, would you say Port Washington had like 200
222.
And this one had like around 30 or something?
Actually, I could check just by looking at this folder here. 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
And most of them weren't,
you know,
of the same ilk as the ones in Port Washington.
Yeah,
either.
Most of them were just, you know, digital matte shots where a sign or something would be inserted and stuff. I can't even believe there's actually 38 because I look back and I think about...
Yeah,
know,
I was kind of surprised when you told me it was, you know, over 30.
Because there's whole sequences like the truck sequence, the whole President's Daughter sequence, then the truck fight, then the big shootout. There's no special effects. That whole... There's
yeah.
huge sections of the movie, there's no special effects. Yeah, it's... Well, okay, you have like...
Well, about the only effects at the end are when you shoot the gas tank on
yeah,
the truck
blows up.
And then the truck goes off the cliff.
Yep, because when he pushes
the
truck
effect.
Over, that's actually... real.
Yeah, that was real.
And then all the stuff at the end, the White House, that was a special effect. He rips
yeah.
Jesse in half, that was a special effect.
Yeah.
It was like shooting the sand crane,
yeah.
the grenade shot. I don't know, I could maybe think of like 10 off the top of my head, but I don't exactly know when there was 38 the one, things in that folder.
There's the one where Sal drives up to the building and you put the sign in, oh, in the foreground.
Yeah.
And
but yeah, it was mostly simple stuff, like stuff. Yeah, put in a sign or yeah. whatever. Well, I think the thing that really helped us with Posthumous Man is that we kept everyone excited all along.
Yeah.
Because what always happens with independent film is, and happens with Port Washington too, it's, getting the first 75 or 80% is not difficult, or, well, it's difficult, but then people start to get tired and they start to wind down.
Yeah.
You talked about that with, I think it's a general rule, you talk about with IT too, like 80% of the problems will take 20% of the time, and 20% of the problems will take 80% of the time.
Yeah.
The number pretty much goes with movies, like the last 20% will take 80% of the time, and we actually didn't really have that problem with this movie.
Yeah. I think the thing that helped with this, too, is that we did the whole, like, two-week thing where we would film, like, every other weekend. Although, I mean, towards the end, me, you, and Mike were filming stuff almost every weekend.
Yeah, actually,
I think
we filmed about 5 weekends in a row at the end there.
But the thing was, they weren't...
None of it was really that difficult.
Yeah, they weren't, like, heavy weekends where, like, Port Washington, it was almost always, like, you know, a pretty packed day of filming.
Yeah, but then we'd always, like, not do Sundays because no one was in the mood.
Yeah.
Which was...
And I think that was because we were doing it, like, every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if we would have done the every other weekend, it might
and
have
again,
been different.
And again, Posthumous Man was a lot simpler. I mean, there was...
Yeah.
The locations were basically woods.
Yeah, I mean, we filmed a huge part of the movie at your cousin's place.
Yeah, we filmed quite a few scenes. Well, not really all in one day, but... That, what was it, the 23rd? Was that the day? We filmed quite a bit that day.
Was that the...
Shootout
wall of fire
day,
and
wall of fire.
And shootout, and then Megan flopping around in the water.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie, the big shootout with the possum killing everybody, Megan escaping the cops and flopping around in the water, and the truck driving through the wall of fire was all filmed at the same day.
Yep,
it was quite the day. It was a good day, and
then everything with the president's daughter and the stoner boyfriend was filmed in the same day.
Yep, a Sunday. And then everything with the secret agent was filmed in one day.
Yep. Plus the trap sequence was filmed that day as well.
That was actually the highest footage of any day. Because, yeah, it was the you betraying Mike, you in the car, you threatening Sal, you
and then me
tricking
talking
Mike.
To you guys at, when I first show up.
Oh, yep, and the trap sequence. That was all filmed in one day.
And my stipulation that day was that I did everything in my suit... before we did anything with the possum suit, and so it worked out pretty well.
Right, which
way.
Is why when you're telling Mike to fill the syringe with DNA, it doesn't show any windows in the barn because it was still daylight out.
Yeah.
So we had to, like, not show the windows.
Oh, and we filmed the, we filmed the part where I change into the possum and everything that same day, too.
Yeah, I think...
Yeah, it was everything with the agent was, that day plus the trap sequence.
I think that was the only day where we actually exceeded the capacity of the 32-gig... P2 card.
And we did and then film a lot of stuff that day.
Use a second card. Yeah, that was... I think we filmed, like, probably about 110 minutes that day.
Yeah.
Which is our... Yeah. By far the most...
I think, too, probably, as this turns into the Posthumous Woman retrospective...
Ah, who cares? It's better than politics.
The,
Posthumous Woman for President.
I think one of the...
She can see Russia.
Well, she's got that going for her, I guess. But I think one of the things that helped it a lot, too, was the fact that, like, with... I keep referencing Port Washington because it took so long, and it's the only other movie I was in that Ben has made. But, like, with Port Washington, it was very rigid, planned out. Like, it was storyboarded all the way through, scripted, everything. Where, like, this movie, we had the fuck-it mentality. There was an outline... A few lines here and there that we had written out in advance that were like, we have to hit this line somewhere. But the rest of it was just like, okay, here's kind of the general idea for this scene.
Yeah, it has to start here and end here.
Yeah, so I mean, all probably, 85, 90% of the dialogue in the film is completely ad-libbed, would probably be fair.
Yeah. I think that definitely... Yeah,
so Port it keeps Washington people involved, more that way, too, I think.
And in Port Washington, we didn't sacrifice any shots. We're like, we're going to get this shot or do this no matter what. And,
yeah.
You know, maybe it worked good for the movie, but again, that's why it took so long.
Yeah.
Wait, and what... We had two of the sequences in Posthumous Woman were storyboarded. The truck fight,
Yep.
And then the end where...
Yeah, the die part. I think that's my favorite shot in the movie is where the possum's in front of the fire.
Remember, we shot that several times because I kept wanting there to be more fire in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I had no idea how big the flames were behind me because I just kept facing forward the whole time and I could, you know, feel the heat.
Yeah, you're in a flammable suit and pay no attention to all the fire that's going on behind you.
It's best if I didn't look.
It wasn't that bad.
But it turned out really awesome on the footage, so.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I will say about myself is a lot of times when we're filming some stuff, people will have no idea why I'm doing something. But they should know that in the end it'll work out in the movie because I know what I'm doing. So that's all that matters.
I always know you've got it figured out in your head, so I don't get worried about it.
Yeah. But
I think it helped, you know, that aspect where very little of it was plotted out, you know, so there was a lot of room to improvise, you know, and people got to bring
the
their own things
there,
to it.
But it was basically whatever people said.
Yeah,
it was
just
pretty
fill
loose.
In the blanks. You know, it's like people knew what the basic story was, and it's like, okay, you know, you're this possumatologist woman, so, you know, just talk scientifically or something. And
well, we did have the script or the outline did say marsupial behavioral instinct, which was a hell of a thing to make someone say on their first day.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal. Surprised she came back.
Yeah, I think she was nervous. Yeah, I think she was nervous the first day we filmed with her, but then she realized it didn't
matter.
Yeah, the
second weekend she was, like, on. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, actually, one of my earliest ideas I had for Possumus Woman or Possumus Man 2 or whatever I call it was that I wanted someone to be riding on an ATV giving a Braveheart speech. And originally it was going to be Grady, and then it wasn't in the movie, and I'm like, wait a minute, I think I can get this back in the movie.
Well, then it was great because the... Morgan was there. He was the guy with, the AR-15?
Yeah, that's correct.
And, somebody made some comment about... Well, Ben was like, okay, this is basically the Braveheart speech is what you got to do here. It's like your Braveheart moment and all that. And then somebody
Wilma Wallace is what we called her.
And somebody made a comment about face paint, and Morgan had all of his gear with him and stuff, and he's like, hey, I've actually got, like, Cam with... And Jody was like, okay, fine. And she went in and came out painted up like that, and it was like... Wow, this is just completely absurd, but it's awesome.
Yeah, was there really any idea that we said no to, besides, like, the DNA thing that you didn't like?
Yeah, very little was shot down.
Yeah, because what did Dale say one day? He was like, hey, Ben.
Well, where the possum says die.
Yeah, what if the possum says one thing in the movie? What if it says, die, at the end? And I'm like, yeah.
It's like, well, why the hell not?
Yeah, it's like, why don't you think I would want that? Well, yeah, I guess... See, again, like I said, we talked about Alien Hunter, but I would be more leaning toward making something just absurd.
I mean, I would love to make Alien Hunter, because I think it would be a blast, and it'd be a hell of a movie, but it would
be very... I don't
know
if it'd be a blast to make.
Yeah, it'd be a pain in the ass to make, and it would be...
In fact, I pretty much would refuse to do it unless I had special effects help.
Yeah. Yeah, because that would just be... that would make Port Washington look like a walk in the park for effects work.
Oh, it would be a great movie.
Yeah.
actually, there was something we didn't do at the end of Possumus Woman.
Yes.
Remember?
Yep.
Just because we wanted to save it for Alien Hunter if it gets made.
Yep.
Because originally, Possumus Woman was also going to be pregnant. And at the end, after we killed it... Its baby was going to claw its way out of the womb, and we were going to have to fight it. And I would have done it, but I wanted to save a fight against a monster baby for Alien Hunter, because that's how that movie ends. So, see, I would be more for like that Weapon of Mass Destruction movie we talked about.
Yeah, that'd be
which
awesome.
Which is basically we had this idea to make an 80s movie.
Yeah, if anybody out there knows like a really big guy, like
a big muscle guy,
kind of an Arnold type guy. Let us know, because we need somebody to be the Weapon of Mass Destruction.
Actually, you know what I was thinking about the other day? Something I was kind of thinking about and coming back to? It was the Helmut and Django movie.
The musical?
It would be difficult, but it would also be absurd.
And it would be totally different from anything done before.
I would love to do a musical.
That'd be cool. You have to find people that could sing, though. That'd be kind of
the
trick.
I was thinking about it. You know, what can a dime buy?
Because, I mean, you'd have to be in it, because you can actually sing, and you don't want to be in a movie.
I thought about it. I would be in it as Clarence Hartwig, the turkey guy.
Okay,
the
guy just a smaller role, but...
Well, he's actually in the movie twice.
Yeah.
I don't know if have we discussed this movie on the podcast before?
God, we might have briefly, but I don't think
we
got
into it. One of the craziest movie ideas that we've discussed is if you go on the internet, you can look up a place called The Gobbler, as in, you know, a turkey gobble. And it's this restaurant that's in Johnson's Creek, Wisconsin. It's closed now, and the hotel that was next to it has been demolished. Anyway, it's got this really bad shag 1960s design or whatever. And
yep, it's purple furniture and stuff. It's like just ridiculous.
Yeah, and apparently that's kind of the fault of the owner's wife or something.
Yeah, and it had a rotating bar in it too.
Yeah, but other stuff. But anyway, it was designed by an architect named Helmut Ejango, who actually is from Fort Atkinson.
Yeah, because I think he designed the Fireside Dinner Theater that's there as well.
Yep, and then Letitia had actually met him.
Yeah, at some architectural conference.
So did she talk to him about the gobbler?
I just remember she came home that day and she was all excited because she was like, "You'll never guess who I met today."
Because this is after we'd already started talking about making this movie.
Yeah, and I was like, "Who?" And then she told me, and I'm like, "Oh Christ, we got to tell Ben."
Okay. Yeah, because we first started talking about this.
It was quite a while ago.
It was in September of 1995 or 2005, because it was when Dale and I took his Jeep to Milwaukee to get a freight shipment of a computer monitor, the arcade monitor.
Oh, okay.
Then on the way back, we saw the Gobbler, and I'm like, "Oh, you ever hear about that place?" And then we started looking up the pictures. I mean, I think I'd already seen it at that point, and then, of course, it was, like, hilarious. Then I'm like, "We should make a musical movie about the life of the architect who designed this place." So then we came up with this idea to make a movie called Helmut Ejango, which is the guy's name. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. And
was that what it was going to be called?
I think so. I don't remember it ever.
I don't
being
think we ever
really else.
Came up with like.
But we decided that we were going to like kind of take some liberties with his story, and he was going to grow up in Norway, but then it was going to be invaded by the Nazis, and then he was going to fight with the British to destroy a heavy water plant. And then there's it was just going to be insane. And then, it's a musical, so there's a part where the Nazis are like, heavy water, is the water heavy enough? And then some guy tastes it, no, heavy water. And then it has a chorus, too. The battle for Britain may be lost, but with this we might still stand a chance. Doodle-doodle. We'll drop this sucker on England. And then you have like a bassist come out, Winston Churchill is going to crap his pants. So the Nazis are, we're going to have them making it with butter churns.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm sorry, this movie would just be nuts.
It would just be, outlandish. It would probably be kind of expensive.
So anyway, Helmut Ejango is like 17 years old. He's sitting in this bar in Norway. And this British guy comes in. He's like, "Hello, chaps. I need some people to go with me and destroy a heavy water plant." So they go and they have to destroy this heavy water plant. And Helmut Ejango uses his architectural skill or whatever, because he's only got like one bomb left, and he puts it on the main beam. Then there's a snowmobile chase.
Yep.
Anyway, he gets injured.
Oh, God.
And some local girl like takes him in and nurses him back to health, and of course they fall in love or some shit. And then I have this idea that he has to go to America for some reason because the Nazis are still looking for him, and I want him to be on a horse at sunset, and then she's standing there like in her dress and is like flowing in the wind and
God.
It's all silhouetted, and he's like, "I will send for you." And he's like, "Yeah!" And the horse like rides off, and the woman's like standing there like clutching her chest.
The 1800s now?
That would be the best movie ever. Oh, so anyway. So then he's on a boat headed back to America, and it's still during World War II, and then it gets torpedoed by a U-boat, right? And it's starting to sink. And there's this guy. He's like, "Oh, no!" And his guy and his wife is like, "Our baby is below decks or some shit!" And then Helmut Ejango was like, "I'll go save it." So he goes down below, and he has to, basically Titanic, he has to find some baby that's
floating around or something.
It turns out, though, that's Clarence Hartwig, the turkey guy. So later on in the 60s, he's like, "I remember you saved my baby or something. So I'm going to give you the chance to build this restaurant."
That's with your architectural skills.
Right. So like when Clarence Harper comes back in the 60s, I want him like kind of like this big rotund cigar smoking monopoly kind of character. But yeah, we wanted to make this movie about this architect's life, and then Frank Lloyd Wright is the bad guy in it. Because what is it? He goes to America, And we're gonna have a song called "America Is the Good," right? It was gonna be like the immigration song,
followed closely by "What Would a Dime Buy?"
Yeah, that's like the big show-stopping
yeah, it is.
Song.
What would a dime buy?
Not even a song.
Nope.
And then there's gonna be a Frank Lloyd Wright song because for some reason he goes to Frank Lloyd Wright's like school or whatever it is, and. That was gonna be like kind of like a jazz show tune. It's gonna be like Frank Lloyd Wright. He's never wrong. Yeah, and he's like Frank Lloyd Wright, like spinning around. And I would totally ask Andrew Sharp to be
yeah.
Frank Lloyd. I saw him the other day, so obviously he'd still be up for it.
Obviously.
But yeah, and then the climax of the movie or the big sequence would be like him designing and building the Gobbler restaurant. And I was thinking when Helmut Django was born, it could be like Lion King / Jesus.
What are they going to do? Hold him up to the sky?
Well, the mom could be like, I shall name him Helmut. In the background, you hear like, Helmut, Django, Helmut. So it'd be also kind of like Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. But, yeah, it would just be batshit insane and a musical.
That would be great to make, but,
you can you just picture that? I will send for you. And like riding off on a horse. The imagery would be
so
awesome.
So what, he's on like a stagecoach or something?
No,
he's just
on a horse, and he like has to, you know, make it go.
So who goes like, when they're just on a horse?
Well, it's kind of like dramatic, you know?
I know.
Because you'd see him riding off into the sunset, and she'd be standing there like, ah! And then next thing you see this
big
would be like, and then of course it gets torpedoed by the Nazis.
Yes. And then it ends in tears.
No, it doesn't. He saves the day. It's like, Helmut, get out of there! That boiler's about to blow! I haven't found the baby yet! It's like, what's the baby doing?
Why is the baby in the boiler room?
It just is! It just is!
Maybe you shouldn't give the baby back to its parents. They don't seem very good at parenting.
I was over in England selling turkeys to our troops. I'm a turkey man! Oh, we've gone quite a bit over.
I am a turkey man.
I drink your turkey milkshake.
Turkey shake.
Okay, well, we should probably let you go. And we completely forgot to talk about Fallout 3 or Dead Space.
Maybe next time.
They are both awesome.
Go buy them.
Yes, buy both of them.
If you can, because they kick ass.
Fallout 3 is Oblivion with guns.
And Dead Space is essentially this year's BioShock.
Yes, it's much better than you'd probably ever expect it to be.
Yeah, considering it's from EA, but they did a hell of a job. Maybe they're turning the corner.
EA's made lots of good games. People just, you know,
they've got a bad rep.
Yeah.
Kind of like domestic automakers.
Yeah.
They got a bad rep, but they make a damn good product now. But
look at Activision.
Cares.
Everyone talks about Activision, like, oh, they're so cool and they print money. Like, Guitar Hero 4 is, like, totally phoned in.
Yeah, they're just like, and then they have... It seems like every other week they announce a Guitar Hero game. Have you noticed this?
Why? What's coming out now?
Well, I don't know. There's like... They just brought out that Guitar Hero on tour for the DS, like, what, less than 6 months ago? And now there's another one coming out, like, in a couple of weeks.
I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, the fact that you can tell they barely got Guitar Hero 3 to be as good as it was. And now they have to do all this in just another
I did
year.
Like how they did the vocals.
There's pretty
it,
much
though.
No way they could do it.
There's something about how they did those that I liked better. It was like they kind of had where... For the neck
It
had some nice
stuff.
Kind of
told you where you had to take the note to.
Yeah, like a countdown.
And the fact that when you
yeah, they had some
the game,
good thoughts
like
with it. It's just, you know,
start
overall,
again.
It's
that's a very
not
good
the
feature.
Most amazingly executed product.
Good thoughts that Rock Band will rip off for Part 3 and be even better.
Yes, we can only hope, anyways. So.
Oh, yeah, that, like, pausing countdown timer will be in Rock
Band
3.
Put it in. They're not afraid to steal good ideas.
Yeah.
And God bless them.
Okay, so...
So yeah, so don't vote tomorrow unless you really feel strongly about one candidate
or
the
other.
Yeah,
don't vote unless you feel... Don't vote because people tell you you should. Vote because you want to or that you think the people are good candidates.
Yeah, this is the only place where you'll hear somebody tell you not to vote, I think. So,
well,
but it's with good reason. It's not like...
I mean, if you said like Puff Daddy or P. Diddy or whatever the fuck he calls himself now, said, go and vote.
Shit.
Who cares? I mean, oh, wow, some millionaire asshole told me to vote. Great.
Yeah, or like if
like how about like some middle income assholes telling you not to vote? That obviously means a lot more.
Yeah. Well, it's like if the guy, the schmo down the street from you says, go and vote for, you know, Obama or go and vote for McCain. I mean, is that really good enough reason for you to go and vote for that person?
Yeah, what about these yard signs? Like, Obama, McCain. It's like, oh, that yard sign's really convinced me.
Yeah, it's like, wow, God, I really need to get out there tomorrow.
Yeah, what's the fucking point? It's like, you know, why doesn't a yard sign ever, like, say just anything about the candidate? It's just, like, their name, you know? It's like graffiti.
It's like, oh yeah, I heard that guy was, you know, running for president or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, that yard sign is really convincing. It made its points eloquently.
Well, I've got the Adlai Stevenson bumper sticker on my car since it didn't get used in Possumus Woman.
Maybe we could take a picture of it and put it on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, well, we will talk to you all next time, and hopefully we'll get some better movies from Hollywood because of the election.
Yes, one way or the other.
That would be a nice change I can believe in.